It's Friday!
Yay!
Whew, you can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It is Friday, and it is the 1st of May, and that's wild in some parts. People celebrate May Day, which I thought was a call for help if you were out to sea or somewhere else. But it's more than that. It's a apparently socialist celebration for the working people. Now, for the rest of you who are on your jobs right now, like me, like the team, we consider ourselves working people. We don't base that based on what you pay somebody to do their job. We don't say, oh, well, you pay them this amount, so they're a working person, and you pay them this amount, or they earn this amount, so they're not a working person. I thought this went away a long time ago. My friend Ron Gettelfinger and I went round and round about this, and I think I finally got him to admit. I was getting up at 4 in the morning, and I was working until 10 or 11 at night. And yet, based on what I made at that time, I wasn't considered a working person. I think I got him to finally say, all right, Paul, you're right, you're a working person. And anybody who has a job is a working person. Why would the Democrats try to split us apart and call some of us who have jobs working people and some of us who have jobs not working people based on our skills, our life choices, our hours spent doing what we do or getting ready to do? It makes no sense to me at all. And you know what really makes no sense? For example, on this May 1st, Chicago schools have utterly failed the students there. It's like 1 out of 10 might be at level for reading and math and whatever else. And yet the Chicago school teachers pushed for the students to have the day off today, not go to classes, so the teachers wouldn't have to, too, but and get out there and protest. Well, the kids should get out there and protest, and they should protest the lousy job the entire education system in Chicago is doing and cheating those kids out of their education and their opportunity to become one day working people. It is Couple Appreciation Day. Did you know that? Couple Appreciation Day. And I couldn't appreciate my Kim more. My life is so much better with Kim in it. So, that was very sweet.
I thought it was cute.
I should mention again, as I do every day, and I appreciate not as a couple, but as a team. The team. Usually Mike Parsons is here, but he's off a couple of days. So we have Dave Rieger. And helping Dave Rieger in great training, although what training does she need? She's been a producer forever, Kelsey Phillips, back with us like she was yesterday. And you can see Kelsey and the team, on the Facebook and YouTube pages that are streaming us live right now. Of course, you can stream us audio-wise, and you can come back and podcast us. That helps us and matters a lot at WJR.com. I do hope you have the free WJR app. I hope you enjoyed your daily dose of Dietz, WJR All Talk with Kevin Dietz, and he's headed up to one of my favorite places in the world, Treetops. That's going to be a lot of fun, so if you don't have plans for the weekend, head up to Treetops and have a great party with Kevin Dietz and everybody up there at Treetops. Barry Owens, who you know well through this radio station and all of that. Let's see, Chicago schools, I got little notes here. It's National Chocolate Parfait Day. Is parfait a fancy name for a sundae? I don't know that. Danielle, is that what that is? Or Kelsey?
I don't know. I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't have those.
Oh, my gosh, the whole team. You and Mike Parsons are both lactose intolerant.
Well, I'm not like full-blown as him. I can have some things, but other things, ice cream is one of them. Ice cream, milk, any kind of sour cream or any, like, cream. But cheese is fine most of the time, depending on the cheese.
Except for Limburger cheese.
No, except
which always used to be in a joke in cartoons. And I must say, I've never come across Limburger cheese anywhere.
Mm-mm.
I just haven't. People don't say, oh, here's a charcuterie tray, or here's a tray of fine cheeses, and that one's Limburger. Limburger.
Isn't it because it smells so bad?
I guess so.
It's not a good smelling cheese, but it tastes okay.
But Roquefort or blue cheese, they don't smell real good, but I like them.
I think blue cheese doesn't taste very good or smell very good.
I don't know. I like it. I don't have it that often, but Kelsey, did you say you like blue cheese?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I like blue cheese, too.
The voice of Dave Rieger, who's never far away. And today is actually his special day because he gets double duty, like so many people in so many jobs, because he's helping produce, and it's Friday, so he's going to review a couple of films for us.
It's a big day today. Big day, Paul. Double dip, if you will.
Yeah, double dipping. They're getting twice their money's worth. All right, now I have to get a little serious. My Monday column coming up, unfortunately, I know this sounds crazy, but it's only 300 words. And you'd be amazed how hard it is, for me at least, to tell an entire story in 300 words. So I know I'm going to have a follow-up, because what I've written about for this Monday in the Great Detroit News is about the sad failing of the Secret Service. And you know, if you've listened to me for 5 minutes, I am a big supporter of all law enforcement. I wouldn't have joined the 100 Club. I wouldn't have done all the things I've done over the years to help and promote our law enforcement people. But the reality is, the president is alive after 3 attempts because of good luck. Some people said it was divine intervention when he turned his head just at the right moment to not get shot straight in the head. I'm not going through all of this now, but it will be in my column on Monday. But then next Monday, I'll explain to you why I have the right to have these feelings from spending real time, hours and hours, with better Secret Service people back in the day.
I will tell you that I have experienced the Secret Service one time in my life recently, and it was when President Trump came to Detroit for the Detroit Economic Lunch at the casino.
Yes.
They are no joke going through the security to get in a place where the president is coming. I have never had my entire everything gone through.
So then why in the world did they drop the ball in a hotel setting where President Reagan was actually shot several years ago, and they had so many people that could come and go that were not even going to the dinner but are staying at the hotel, to not have armed agents in the stairwells is unheard of, in my opinion. And watching the one guy who's standing there at the line of where they come through, and he's looking off to the side, and he's looking this way. And he wasn't paying attention enough to hear this guy running toward him. You know how much noise that makes, and how a Secret Service person on duty in their "the president's around" stance, not "the president's not around, so we're taking it easy." It's unacceptable. But unfortunately, what's worse, I don't even know his name. I think I've seen the head of the Secret Service saying, "I wouldn't have changed anything in the way we were set up." How do you say something like that after a guy gets through the line, shoots one of your agents, and doesn't get down to where the president was only because he stumbled? How do you say you wouldn't have changed anything?
I know you have to go to break, but I would say, you say he's been lucky 3 times. I would say he's been lucky once, and the 2 other times, they didn't come close to getting him.
Yeah, but guess what? The Secret Service didn't come close to getting the bad guys. They fired their guns 11 times. 11 shots were fired in these last 2 times. It's 0 for 11. They never hit.
That is true.
The perpetrators.
That's true.
With 11 shots.
Can't argue that.
These are supposed to be the best of the best. You and I might have gotten lucky and hit somebody. At least they say now they didn't hit another agent which was one of the big guesses of other people secretly in law enforcement. They thought that that agent who was hit by friendly fire. Now the top of the Secret Service said, no, that's not true. So we'll hold him to his word that that's not true. But seriously, it's just disappointing, that's all. And whether it's luck or not luck, how many times are we going to give people an opportunity to kill the President of the United States? And how many times are we going to get through that without the President being killed? Seriously. The fourth time, if they kill the President, are we all going to go, this is shocking, I can't believe it happened. Are you kidding?
You make a valid argument.
I'm sorry that I'm making a valid argument. Every Secret Service guy I knew starting 25 years ago have been unbelievable at their jobs. What has happened? I don't know. I'm going to have to start at leadership, though, at the top. That's all. All right. We got to get moving here. Danielle's getting nervous. Kelsey sang, when the music plays, isn't he supposed to stop? And Dave Rieger is saying, well, that's Paul. And this is Paul. Paul W. Smith in focus on WJR. Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons, Kelsey Phillips. With our relentless positive radio, while you're on your way to making each and every day count, because each day is a gift. And thanks for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. We continue right now. You just heard a promo for one of the great weekend shows, and that's really the beauty is we have such great programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that includes a couple of guys that I love. Ken Calvary and Chuck Bridenstine, the Inside Outside guys. And I want to point out that in their newspaper column today in the award-winning The Detroit News, they are taking on a very important bit of information. Take these steps for home fire prevention. Please look at your Detroit News. Pick up a Detroit News. Find it online if you can. The Inside Outside guys, take these steps for home fire prevention. Then, of course, don't forget to listen to the guys right here tomorrow and Sunday on WJR from 10 till noon. You will be so glad that you do, and your life will be better because you do. And that's a fact. Speaking of making our lives better, Marie Osborne, WJR Director of Community Affairs and News, is here. And the Defense POW/MIA Agency we'll meet with nearly 500 families from the Detroit metro area who have a missing military loved one. What? 500 people, families in our area have a missing military loved one? Well, the meeting is tomorrow, but this morning Marie had a chance to talk with a member of the agency tasked with this important work. I am, like King Charles, all ears. Marie.
Good afternoon there, Paul. This meeting takes place at the Renaissance Center tomorrow. Captain Megan Bogner is the Deputy Director of Operations for the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency, and she says there's thousands of service people missing and unaccounted for.
For the entire country, for all missing Americans, from World War II through more present-day operations like the Gulf War and Iraq War, we're looking at close to 81,000 missing service members. The vast majority are from World War II, about 71,000 from World War II.
And from Michigan, she says, that are still missing 2,822. She says thanks to advancements in technology, more identifications are taking place than ever before. Last year, there were more than 200.
These advances include single nucleotide polymorphism, which I know is a mouthful, but it's a different way of looking at DNA. It actually enables us to use more generations from those family trees. So getting back to the number of generations who are now interested in their missing loved one, well, they can actually help us make identifications.
And in fact, last year, 23-year-old Army Private First Class Harold Dalia from Twin Lake, Michigan, was identified. She says these families are living with generational grief.
In many cases, they just don't know. They don't know what happened. And so this is an opportunity to find out something and to know that there is an agency out there that is looking for their loved one and doing everything possible to bring them home.
And she says they go all over the world to do this. If you're interested in this, and you can go to the event tomorrow at the Ren Center, or you can join on their live stream at dpaa.mil, dpaa.mil. And Paul, we are the only country in the world that does this at this scale. Other countries, of course, try to find their missing service people, POWs, MIAs, but not to the scale that the USA does.
Well, we just saw that recently with the airmen that went down in Iran or behind enemy territories, and the amount of time, effort, and money spent to find and bring back that one pilot was mind-blowing. And other countries don't do that, whether they have the ability or not, they just don't do it. But I'm stunned to hear these numbers. Now, you put a little more on it, Marie Osborne, so that we better understand that we're talking basically about all soldiers from the beginning of time, really, when we started having battles. So it goes way back.
World War One, and
which
and
was a
forward.
Long time ago for all of us. Mm-hmm. And then World War II. And then, as the Congresswoman put it, World War XI. But that's another story. 2,822 Michiganders, or Michiganians if you prefer, that we still can't find.
Yes. And they have, you know, with this advanced technology, they have clues. They just need, you know, further investigation. And this captain telling us they are not giving up. They are continuing. There are about 700 service people and non-commissioned people who work in this department of the government. They're based in Hawaii and also in Kansas, I believe. And they continue to work on this every single day to bring closure. I don't like to use the word closure, but to bring information to these families so even generations later.
I think closure is a very proper way to put it, frankly. I know it sounds maybe not as big as you'd like it to sound, but it is closure that these families are looking for. They're looking for an answer.
Right, but the grief goes on. There's never a closure for grief. But they need their the not knowing is just the worst part of this grief for these families.
Absolutely. All right, Marie, thank you. WJR Director of Community Affairs and News, Marie Osborne. Hey, by the way, Mike Parsons off a couple of days because he's celebrating Chelsea, his wife's birthday, his lovely wife. Her birthday is tomorrow. So they're celebrating Couple Appreciation Day for a few days here. And our dear friend Mark Snethkamp is celebrating his birthday today, and I'm sure Debbie, his beautiful wife, has plans for him. I will never forget what Mark did when I was doing the golf tournament that we still have going on here on WJR with further details to follow. But I'm here to tell you that Mark used to top off. Wherever we were close to raising whatever it was, he always added to go to the next figure higher, which helped us get that nearly $10 million net dollars to the charities. And we'll talk about the tournament continues, and we'll talk about that coming up. But first, to stay on track, you know, because we were out on the road yesterday, I didn't have my papers lined up, and I still can't find the paper I was looking for to give you all the information for Lomas. And there are a few ways to get this. Of course, you can go to WJR.com and learn about the Lomas Brown Jr. Golf Classic. You can also go to LomasBrownGolfClassic.com, LomasBrownJrGolf.com. And again, I say WJR.com. For Lomas taking over the golf outing, it's coming up Monday, July 13th at the very beautiful and incredible course, the Country Club of Detroit in Grosse Pointe. So I wanted to get all that out there, and I didn't have my sheet in front of me. I usually have it here, but because we were on the road yesterday, I moved some things around. You know that gas is on everyone's mind. It's interesting because it's the media that keeps reminding us how high gas prices are. They didn't do a thing to remind us how low gas prices were at the beginning of this administration, and I don't remember them making as big a deal out of it when Joe Biden was president and it was $5 a gallon. But be that as it may, we live with the reality of what we live with today. And we're lucky to have the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, the one and only Patrick DeHaan. We've been trying to get you, Patrick. We were there from the beginning, but you've become so big and popular on television and radio across the country.
It's weird. I'm obsessed with more low prices, and some of the media seems to be more obsessed with talking to me while prices are high.
Isn't that the truth?
It is. You know, I'd rather fill up for $1.99, but, you know, I don't like talking to you in these kind of – I mean, I like talking to you, but not about these high prices.
I understand, and there's a lot – you know, the first question people ask me, and I'll let you answer it, is, well, wait a second. When oil goes up today, and therefore we watch our pumps and they go up 50 cents or a dollar or whatever they go up, how's that possible since the oil they have in the tanks underground at their gas station was bought at a much lower price?
Well, it moves uniformly. You know, how that's determined is not futures prices. This is where Americans like to, you know, it's hard to explain this because energy markets are so complex. But futures markets are not necessarily used in the way that many Americans think. And basically, stations have no control over this, right? They don't buy months in advance. They buy the day of, and then they get it that evening. But refiners may use futures to hedge. They may buy futures, but that oil doesn't show up, as you mentioned, for a month and a half. But everything at the retail level, there's two energy markets here. There's oil prices, the spot price, which is what you pay on the spot, and there's the futures prices, if you can afford to wait. And, you know, the way that retail gas prices work is spot prices, and it's spot prices that influence the futures price, because what happens today can impact things in a month or two. It's not the other way around. What happens in a month or two doesn't wait. And so that's the kind of the fundamental difference, is that a lot of people look at futures and then think, well, this can wait a month or two. But it's kind of like, Paul, if there's a hurricane, you don't wait 7 days for that hurricane to be on top of your house to react. You react to the news that you know that's going to happen today. And that's really the way that retail gas prices work and oil markets work. They don't wait for that information to be priced on. It's, you know, if you know the outcome of something, if the risk calculation changes, it changes what stations are charging. And their cost has gone up. And actually, if you looked at my social feed, I posted Monday that this was going to happen. So there actually is about a two-day lag. Stations don't usually raise prices immediately. It usually takes a day or two. And that's why I was forewarning that there would be a massive jolt. But that's also then why prices go down slower, is because stations lost money Monday and Tuesday, and only Wednesday afternoon after they finally raised prices were they back on the right side of things. And I'm sure we can get into the weeds on why their cost went up so much.
Well, this is the reason we speak with Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis, Gas Buddy, because he's not political. He's telling us like it is, and we so appreciate that. And I hate to counter our president, and maybe you'll set me straight, but when the president says, when he ends the war in Iran, you won't believe how fast gas prices go down, I don't necessarily believe they're going to go down as fast as he kind of wants them to.
No, you're 100% right. The maximum rate, regardless of who's in the White House, is that the fastest decline is usually in the ballpark of a 1 to 3 cent decline per day. It's not going to suddenly go down a dollar overnight. That's just not the way things work. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House. The pace of decline is always going to be consistent, right? So, I mean, I wish the president would be right, because I'd love for gasoline overnight to drop a dollar a gallon. None of us have ever seen that. So that's quite far-fetched. And in the long run, my worry is that while, yes, prices, if the strait reopened tomorrow, oil would probably plummet tomorrow, you know, Saturday. On Monday, it would plummet 15%. And then Tuesday and Wednesday is when stations would start to lower their prices. But it's still going to take a really long time for oil markets to catch up to all the supply that has been depleted or hasn't gotten to where it needs to go. We've
it's
lost
sitting out
a
there in the water.
Barrels.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of catching up to do. Prices will start declining quickly, but it's going to take many months for things to fully get back to normal.
He tells it like it is, and that's why we appreciate him so much. And though we like it when gas prices are down, we don't like you less when gas prices are up. I just want you to know that, okay?
Hey, you know, I completely get it.
Thank you, Patrick. Have a great weekend.
You too, Paul.
Head of Petroleum Analysis at Gas Buddy, Patrick DeHaan. We've been with him for years now. And by the way, good article from Grant Schwab and Summer Ballantine in the Detroit News under the headline, Michigan Especially Vulnerable to Gas Hikes. Maybe we ought to read that and understand it a little bit better about what's going on and how it affects all of us, because it does affect all of us, whether you're a working person or not. We continue in Focus at 12:45. We always have tried to help out our friend Ken Lingenfelder. I don't get to see him that much. I have been to see his car collection, the Lingenfelder collection, which is really one of the top-rated car collections in the entire world. I am not overblowing this. This is a tremendous collection. If you or someone you know or love loves cars, you're going to love the collection. But it is a private collection, and it's not open to the public on a regular basis. However, Kenny Lingenfelder and his lovely wife opened this thing up to charities. And it's that time again for the charity Spring Open House coming up tomorrow. At-will donations accepted at the door, and 100% of the proceeds benefiting the American Cancer Society, over 150 vehicles, and they will blow your mind. Now, there are no tickets necessary, and your kids are welcome. And all proceeds, again, at will, whatever you can donate, all proceeds benefit the American Cancer Society. It is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 7819 Lachlan Drive in Brighton, Michigan. And God bless you and your lovely wife, Ken Lingenfelder, for opening the collection to once again help charity. I hope you're well, my friend.
Oh, I'm doing great, Paul. It's great to hear your voice. I have to tell you, this is the best and biggest open house we have through the year. As you know, the collection's not open to the public, and so it keeps it special. And I got to tell you, the American Cancer Society is a very, very special charity for us.
Well, it has been for a long while. And you've been doing this for other charities along the way. This is your biggest one, as you point out. Are these ongoing acquisitions? Like, are there lots of new cars added to the collection since I was there? It's been a couple of years since I've been there.
Well, we'll have to have you back, Paul. But I'm pretty much a junkie on this stuff. I mean, I'm watching. There's a online auction group called BringATrailer.com. I'm on there every morning watching and seeing and. You know, just really buying cars that had something to do with my life, something that had an impact on me years ago or even currently. So we have a lot of fun with it, and I think it's going to go on and on and on, let me tell you. So,
well, God bless you for working so hard and building such a business that puts you in a position that you can do this. And then God bless you for sharing this collection for special occasions like this one, where an at-will donation is accepted at the door with 100% of the proceeds benefiting the American Cancer Society. And it's one of the best collections in the world. And people don't get a chance to see something like this until you open it up like you are tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 7819 Lachlan Drive, Brighton, Michigan. My dear friend and yours, Michael Brennan, president of the Ken Lingenfelder Fan Club, is sending along his best regards to you as well. He just had a birthday recently, and he just admires you so much. He admires great cars, and so you have that in common. So you buy them, you look every morning, and you say, okay, that's meaningful to me, I'm going to buy it. Do you ever sell any of your cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a turnover here. There's only so much room we have in this facility, and, you know, you got to kind of draw the line somewhere. But I have a lot of fun with it. I love sharing it. It's great that we can use it to help these great charities. And so I expect I'll be doing it for a long, long time.
So do you have a something from 1953 I might be able to buy? That's a significant year in my life.
Well, it's a significant year in my life as well.
Oh, there you go.
there you go. But I don't have anything else to sell, but there's a lot of Corvettes in the collection here, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the majority of it. And there are several 53 Corvettes that are pretty valuable and kind of fun to look at.
Is that your birthday too, 1953?
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
Oh, my goodness
it
gracious.
Is.
How young
friend,
we
yeah.
are and how quickly the time has gone by.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
And Corvettes have been your number one vehicle. It goes back to your dad, doesn't it?
Yeah, my dad ran a Fisher Body Plant when I was a kid. They built the old Toronados, but he took me to a show at the tech center, and I walked out of the car and walked up to the back of a split window 63 Corvette, and boom, Corvette guy for life. It made that big an impact on me.
Isn't that something? Wow. How many Corvettes would you say you have?
Oh, gosh, there's got to be 60 easily, maybe more.
Wow. But you've got all kinds of cars there. I mean, all kinds of cars. Is there one, or is this like asking which child is your most important child? Is there one that you think of the most as your prized possession?
Well, there is a 63 split window car in the collection here, and I think a lot of that. But I also have a Corvette that was owned by the gentleman who is considered the father of Corvette. His name was Zora Duntoff. And it's his mule car. It's a car he used to test and create future Corvettes. It's the first V8 Corvette that was ever built. And that one's really, really special, as you can imagine.
Well, to be able to pick one out of the 150-plus that you have, it's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. The Charity Spring Open House at Lingenfelder Collection, 7819 Lachlan Drive in Brighton. Kids are welcome, and all the proceeds benefit American Cancer Society. Just make an at-will donation accepted at the door. Have fun, and it's always a pleasure to tell people about what you've got going, Ken. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Paul. So appreciate your help, believe me. Thank you.
We'll do it as often as we can as we continue on WJR. I can't tell if I have a cold or allergies. Does anyone else on the team, Dave Rieger standing by, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Kelsey Phillips, anyone else have allergies?
It seems like the older I get, the more allergies have come on.
Yeah, I think I might be able to relate to that.
Yeah.
I know you're much older than me, but I... but I do believe that I didn't have allergies like this in the past.
No.
It just the last several years, but not a long time ago.
Yeah, I have congestion and stuffed up nose. Yeah, it's,
I wake up in the middle of the night. I can't stop sneezing.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Weird.
Kelsey, nothing? Too young for any of this stuff?
Yeah,
just a couple old geezers comparing notes. You mark my word, Kelsey. Miss Phillips, as you get older, you'll start talking about this sort of stuff. It's inevitable.
It.
Okay. All right. It's inevitable. It is a couple appreciation day. So I mentioned I appreciate my Kim like you can't imagine. I don't know what my life. I don't want to find out what my life would be like without her ever. I don't get this one. National Rotate Your Beer Day. I don't get that. Kelsey looks like she gets it. Are you old enough to drink beer?
I am. I was just laughing at Danielle.
Danielle, what do you say? Yeah. You rotate your beer? Is there a reason to do that? Like rotating your tires?
I'm going to say rotating your beer, and I don't know this to be true, but I'm going to say it's like rotating the beer in your fridge.
Yeah, that's
so
what I
So bring
thought,
the
too.
Old the old beer that's been sitting in the back up, which is not a bad idea because then you find treasures. You're like, oh, my gosh. I forgot that I had that Yingling all the way back there, and I've been drinking Busch Light for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is to move all the beer from the back of the fridge to the front.
I'm not a big beer drinker, so oftentimes when I do finally look at the beer that I've had in the refrigerator for all those people that are coming over that never come over, and I pull the beer out, it's like from it's like good till 2023. And I remember a time when my dad, God bless him, was drinking his Strohs. They'd never had a date on them. Not that the beer would be around that long, frankly, but all of a sudden we had to start dating everything. So would you drink a beer out of your refrigerator that said 2023 on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd drink anything that said 2023. As long as it hasn't been opened, I'm going for it.
Okay. All right. What's your favorite beer? Is it the Yingling you said?
No, Yingling's not my favorite. I like a Oberon sometimes or a Soft Parade. Soft Parade is a good summer beer. It's got a little hint of cherry in it. Oberon has orange.
Oberon's local too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking that we found another job for Danielle Mason. She could be our beer steward
the
show.
I mean, I'm not too good. Like, in the descriptions, like when you go to a distillery or whatever, and there's the little descriptions where it says, this has a hint of coffee. No, I don't taste that. I don't know what
you about the craft beers?
Yeah, I love a craft beer.
Okay.
That's where I'm getting messed up.
Michigan. Okay, don't say that. So, Michigan... at least for a while, maybe it's still true, had been pretty highly regarded for craft beers around here.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
There's so many.
I'll never forget the first time I drove up north, like we are going to be doing this weekend. And Monday, we start the Paul W. Smith Pure Michigan Tour. I don't know which number it is, but it's a lot. And we start at Mackinac Island in the iconic Grand Hotel, which is open for business, by the way. But I remember the first time I saw a sign in the distance, and I thought, oh, these must be wine grapes. And as I came upon it, they were hops.
Oh, look at that.
And that was a long while ago. I thought, wow, who's growing hops and why? Well, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Craft beers, big time.
Oh, yeah. You know who loves a craft beer? Our own Ron Smerigan. He's actually better in the craft beer department than I am.
I would never have picked... this very clean-cut, buttoned-up guy.
Yeah.
I mean, his pajamas have buttons on them.
Some craft beer in the Detroit FC, and Bron's there.
Yep.
I had no idea.
Beer and soccer, that's
yeah,
his life.
Beer and, football or soccer, yes.
Wow. Okay.
You're learning so much.
Yeah, I'm learning. I learn a lot. So speaking of football, let's go to basketball. How are the Pistons going to do Sunday? Since you're the sports guy here.
We're going to find out tonight first before we get to Sunday. Tonight, game 6. And you better have Amazon Prime so you
can watch
it. Wait a
minute, there's a game tonight?
Yeah, game 6 tonight, Orlando.
I thought it was... Okay,
game 7 in Detroit will be Sunday if they win tonight.
Okay, we need to win tonight then. Okay,
yes.
I was getting ahead of myself.
They need to win tonight in order to advance to Sunday at LCA. And so
yeah, I was feeling bad because we're on the road...
Yeah,
Sunday, so we couldn't go. That's why this was all convoluted.
So all the pressure's on Orlando because they do not want to come back to Detroit.
And they're missing their star player.
Yeah, Franz.
Thank goodness.
I don't mean Franz Wagner, anybody.
Yeah,
Franz Wagner's not going to play. But they are in Orlando, and Detroit has not performed very well on the road in Orlando. So we'll see what happens.
It is time for them to perform well.
It is. 100%.
Did I just see Rich Luzinski streak through the booth there?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Rich, we haven't talked to you in a long while. Put your clothes on and we'll talk to you. Oh, here it
comes.
Okay,
I'm decent now.
Well, we'll be the judge of that.
I know,
what's new with you? We haven't talked to you forever.
Oh, Paul, you know, you don't want to know. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I got to
find
new digs. I got to... find a new place to move into that doesn't have any kind of issues with loud surround sound. You know, it's a big thing.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's fine. I'm fine. I love my life, Paul. I have a great time. Every day, like you say, is a gift. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we love having you on, but we love having you on more than just with traffic and weather, which you do very well.
Well,
because
thank you.
You're very creative, and we watch you online. I honestly, I still don't know how I see you, but you stumble into my...
Somehow I pop up. Huh?
You pop up into my Instagram thing, Paul W. Smith, and there you are, and It's always very creative.
Thank you. That's a very diplomatic way of saying it. And well, I appreciate
it. It's different. There's no question. It's creative. And, you know, it's good. I expect big things from you in the theatrical world.
Oh, my. Well,
and
I'll try to live
I know
up to that.
I know you're writing your own. Is it an opera or is it just a play? Or
I've got a few things, you know, on the back burner right now that I'm working
on. A few
on.
Irons in the fire,
yeah.
as they
yeah, that's
used
a good
to,
way
say.
To say. Some stuff
people
in the pipeline.
Had irons and fires. And the only irons I've had in fires were my golf clubs when I decided to melt them down because they weren't doing me any good. All right. Well, Rich, nice to see you.
Thanks
and nice
for checking
to,
in.
Hear from you.
The pleasure
and,
is
you
mine.
Know, it does take a team, the team, and maybe now's a good time to thank everyone, as I try to at the end of the show, but you always, you run out of time at the end of the show. So, Dave Rieger, you've done a marvelous job, and you have more work to do besides producing. You're going to be doing your Rieger reviews at coming up. Mike Parsons, who always does a great job, is off with his lovely Chelsea, who celebrates her birthday tomorrow. They're in Holland, I believe. He was hoping to not be allergic to tulips. And Rich Lozinski is now eating pizza. Now, Rich, there's an old school rule that you don't eat something if you didn't bring enough for everybody.
Oh, he
well,
brought
there
enough.
He goes.
Rich
so he
brought,
off.
He brought enough for everybody. In fact,
oh, he did.
In fact, we have so much pizza in the control room that we may never be able to finish it all.
All right. Well, fax me a piece if you would, if you get around to it. And thanks to Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Lozinski, Kelsey Phillips, Mike Parsons, Marie Osborne, Ray Templin, who was with us the last day or two, and now is going to be with us all week on our fabulous Pure Michigan Tour, Paul W. Smith's Pure Michigan Tour, again Monday, from the beautiful, iconic Grand Hotel from the... we've been doing that for... Could be 30 years. I don't know. And our show all this next week will be on from 11 to 2. It's an extra hour. Thanks to Ray Templin and all of his work. And Thomas, who is overseeing everything. And my Kim on this couple appreciation day. I appreciate her every day because Kim Smith is really an associate producer. An unpaid, like the rest of us, an unpaid associate producer for the show and has been for a long time. And we try to do our best with delivering relentless, positive radio. And we are thrilled to be able to do that for you. And we're glad we're all together, and let's get this second hour started on WJR. Well, here's interesting information just being released. Cancer rates about 68% higher among men who have never married compared with those who have. And roughly 83% higher for never married women, according to this new research. This is wild. Married people tend to have greater economic stability and better support systems, are more likely to stick with treatment, according to this professor in this health newsletter. So quickly, Rieger, go on out and get married, for goodness sakes, for your health's sake. All right. Yesterday, we were out and about, and once again, at the Detroit Economic Club, and we were very happy. Mr. Kevorian, thank you for having us out there. And I met Darren Weiss, who is the CEO, board chairman of Grace Centers of Hope. He was introduced to me by our WJR account executive extraordinaire and on-air person. And I just found out that he may be one of the finest Elvis impersonators in the country, and that would be Chris Ayotte, who introduced me to you, Darren, yesterday. And it was nice to see you and nice to have you on the show right now.
Well, thank you. So it was great to meet you, and I'm so privileged to be on your show today. Thank you.
Were you aware that Chris Ayotte was, in fact, a renowned Elvis impersonator? Because I was not aware.
I am not aware, but I am excited to see that now when I see him again.
Okay, and Danielle Mason is going to see him perform. Where is he performing, Danielle? Where
tomorrow. Will that... However, the tickets are sold out. They sold out completely. My friend,
wow.
my friend and his parents bought the last three tickets, but it's at St. Aidan Church in Livonia he will be performing.
And he sold out the venue.
He sold it out. It sold out. They only had three tickets left. And, you know, my family comes together and we make it happen.
Well, good for you. Well, we'll get him in. We'll get him to record it. Thank you. Thank you very much. The piece we use on Fridays. I had no idea he was available. All right, let's go back to you. Darren, you've got some big deals going on as the CEO, board chairman of Grace Centers for Hope. We've helped Grace Centers for Hope for Grace Centers of Hope for a very long time. The largest faith-based long-term life skills programs for those afflicted by homelessness, chemical dependency, and abuse in Southeast Michigan. Tell us a little bit more about Grace Centers of Hope for people who don't know.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah, Grace Centers of Hope is one of the largest and oldest organizations helping those experiencing homelessness and addiction. And we really focus on the root causes of those issues rather than the symptoms. And we do that through a long-term residential programs. We have a one-year life skills program. And then we have also what we call Little Grace Village, which is our two-year aftercare program, where a person graduates our life skills program, they can move in then to Grace Village, which is in Pontiac, just at the north end there of the Woodward Loop in downtown Pontiac, where we've renovated 62 homes, literally transformed that community. But, you know, all of our programs are designed to lead people to independence, you know, to be totally free from programs, rather than getting involved in a program where dependency is actually fostered. You know, we like to say that we don't hand out things. We give a hand up and lead them to a place of freedom. And so on any given day at Grace Centers of Hope, we've got about 300 men, women, and kids that are coming to us that are broken and lost. And we are helping them transform their lives and being all that God created them to be. And the amazing thing really is that, you know, Paul, most people have no idea what we really do. They think that we're a soup kitchen or a shelter, but we're so much more than that. We're a place of transformation, of people getting their whole life back. And we do all of that with absolutely no government funding whatsoever. It's amazing. We like to say we rely on the big G, but it's not a big government passing out checks. We rely on a big God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we just believe that the community at large, individuals getting involved, that's what's going to solve the social ills that we have in our country. And we just see amazing, amazing results. And so I would encourage people to come on out here to Grace Centers of Hope. I'd love to tour them through. We do have four thrift stores in the area. I like to say, if not everybody has a $10,000 check laying around that they can cut. If they do, I'd like to talk to them. But if they don't,
so would I.
Right. But everybody, I think, if they're anything like me, they have things laying around their house that they no longer use. They're probably not going to get into those clothes again. I hate to say it, but you can repurpose those items to repurpose people's lives through donating to our thrift stores. You can schedule a pickup or you can drop them off at any one of our locations. And we also have a fundraiser coming up on May 9th.
Yeah, I want to get to that. I was afraid we were going to run out of time. It's Women Helping Women Luncheon and Fashion Show, 1 week from tomorrow at the beautifully renovated new The Royal Park Hotel in Rochester from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can go to special events at gracecentersofhope.org. Special events at gracecentersofhope.org. Tell me what we're going to do celebrating Mother's Day weekend there.
Well, we have a legit fashion show. So we'll have 600 men and women that are there to see this fashion show. But with the greatest part about this event is that you're going to hear some just transformational stories of women and kids who have gone through our programs. And we actually have women that are in our programs that are part of the fashion show, just really celebrating that transformation. And so I know that people that attend it will be blessed. They'll be so glad. They'll get a better picture of who we are at Grace Centers of Hope, what we value, and how people can get involved in making a difference in somebody's life.
Women Helping Women, Luncheon and Fashion Show, a week from tomorrow at the beautiful Royal Park Hotel in Rochester, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., go online at special events at gracecentersofhope.org. You heard all about it from the CEO, board chairman of Grace Centers of Hope, Darren Weiss. Keep up the good work, Darren.
Thank you so much.
It is our pleasure as we continue In Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR at 129. What in the world has happened to our clean open? Were there a few changes there, Mr. Rieger?
Yes, there have been some changes to the open now that the Rieger reviews it is an award-winning segment.
I didn't realize it was an award-winning segment.
Yes, it won an MAB this year. Yeah.
Oh, excellent! Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
I wish people would tell me these things. I suspect maybe they did. Maybe there's an email floating out
that says that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. But yes, well, congratulations.
So Rich is the master at making the opens. Nicely added that in.
Well, see, now there's the creativity I said we were missing from the Richmeister, Rich Lozinski, but it was happening without me even knowing. Excellent. All right, let me read my part here. Dine in or carry out the best Wiggly's corned beef sandwiches around at Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's Eastern Market. They're open every day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. They are the nicest people. And while you're there, be sure to say hi to Victor, the owner. He loves his customers as much as the corned beef that we love. It's the best Wiggly's corned beef sandwiches around at Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's Eastern Market. His whole family's just lovely. They're wonderful people. All right. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of video and follow-up to this first movie that we can see in the theater, The Devil Wears Prada 2. What did you think?
You know what? I really liked it. Obviously, you talked about this a little bit on your show yesterday, and what you were talking about was the magazines and the newspapers and how they used to be so popular and now not so much. And that's what's happening to Meryl Streep's character in The Devil Wears Prada 2. She's facing the potential end of her career as the print magazine industry collapses, and her former assistant is now trying to take over her magazine, Runway. So she hires back Anne Hathaway's character, Andy Sachs, who was a investigative journalist but got laid off due to bad times. And so she's come back into the fold to be the features editor to help restore the magazine's dwindling credibility.
So she's going up against
Emily
her
Blunt's
old
character.
Assistant, Emily Charlton, which was Emily
Correct.
Blunt?
Correct. So now right. She runs a competitor, and she wants to take over the magazine.
All right. While I sneeze, let's listen to a segment.
Runway. It's not just a magazine. It's a global icon. A winding road that brings us back. Together again.
Hello?
Well, look what TJ Maxx dragged in.
Sorry. Who is this? Do you know her? Do I know her?
I'm Andy Sachs. Andrea?
She was one of the Emilys.
I am the new features editor at Runway.
No, you are not.
Yeah, we are all so thrilled.
You know what's funny is you've changed. You have. You're much more confident. Kept those eyebrows, though, didn't you?
Very catty. Very yes. catty. I can understand why people like this thing so much. But look at the lineup. I love, obviously, Meryl Streep, who's iconic. But Anne Hathaway has come into her own, and she is iconic. And certainly Emily Blunt.
Yep.
And Stanley Tucci. He's perfect great. For the role.
Oh, he's great, yes. Happens to be Emily Blunt's, as we talked about yesterday, brother-in-law, too. Yeah.
Yeah, which I had not known, and she's married to
John
the guy
Krasinski. Yep.
What's his name?
John Krasinski.
John Krasinski. Mm-hmm. What was his series where he was kind of a secret agent?
That was the
Jack Ryan.
Was Jack Ryan series, but he became popular on The Office.
Well, he was unbelievable on The Office, but he also has done a great job in
some other things. Jack Ryan series are great.
Yes. I love the Jack. I got to go finish it. I haven't done that, I don't think. Man, I'll probably start it from the beginning. But The Devil Wears Prada 2 has earned your accolades. How many?
Yeah, three Wiggly sandwiches for sure. I think people will definitely enjoy it. And again, you know, what's new is old, or what is old is new again, I guess.
So did you have to see the number the first one, Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, I think that you really should watch the first one so you kind of
can you see that on television now on one of the channels?
Yeah, it's on I think it's on HBO Max, I think.
All right, so watch number one and then go see number two.
Definitely.
I thought it was so clever that they have popcorn containers that look like a high-style purse.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Did you get one, or did you say, I don't have shoes to go with that bag?
I was not offered one of those, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. All right, three Wigglies. Now let's listen to what you can stream on Apple TV+. It's called Widow's Bay.
I'm Tom Loftus.
Oh,
or Tom.
Nice to meet you, Arthur.
You want to grab some coffee?
No, I'm good. Jerry was just taking me through some of your history.
Oh, that's great. Yes, well, remarkable story.
I was talking to the guy on the ferry, and he said something odd.
What was that?
He said bad things happen here.
There is something about these seafaring towns. The superstitions. Their tall tales. I find it charming myself. What town doesn't have a checkered past?
Was there cannibalism?
No.
Oh my God. This is bad timing. I have to leave Sunday for Mackinac Island.
It's so funny that you bring up Mackinac Island, because even though this takes place on a island in New England on the East Coast, all I could think of was getting on the ferry and going to Mackinac Island.
Yeah.
But Mackinac Island doesn't have any of these things that are happening, these spirits and sea hags and all these different things that are happening in this town. Or this island that they're trying to modernize the town and the island to get the tourism back up. And as soon as he gets the tourism back up, all of these like stories are starting to come true. And that's the first thing I thought of was how many times that I have gone on the ferry to Mackinac Island.
Yeah, me too. And now when you explain it like this, I think of that little town where Jaws took place.
Oh, yes.
And they were trying to get were hurt because they didn't have a lot of tourism. They need to get tourism back, so don't tell anyone that we've got sharks eating people.
Yes. So they're calling this a horror comedy, and it's interesting. I'll give it 2.5 Wigglies from what I've watched so far. It is a series. But, you know, they got to tell the people at the ferry, don't tell the people that bad things are happening as the people are coming over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We'd rather listen to Paul W. Smith on the Shepler's Ferry going to Mackinac.
Where there's certainly nothing that could go wrong or bad with that.
Exactly.
All right. He does it like nobody else. He is Dave Rieger with a brand new opening, too. It was very complicated, that opening. Rieger reviews it. Finally, Dave has a brand new job.
Thanks, Paul.
You've done very well for us this week with double duty, helping by filling in, producing for Mike Parsons so he could have a couple of days off. I hope you have a great weekend, and I do appreciate your help.
Yeah, go Pistons.
Go Pistons is right, tonight and Sunday. Let's continue on WJR. I feel like I'm at a hockey game. All right. This is how things change. In the old days, I would have had on the guy calling the Kentucky Derby. We would have had him on. I don't even remember who that was anymore, if it's the same guy or not. The Kentucky Derby is this weekend, and we've had no conversation. Have they been talking about it in the morning on JR Mornings? Do you have any idea, Mr. Rieger?
I'm sure they mentioned it, for sure. They did mention the Kentucky Derby, yes.
Okay.
The 152nd running for the Roses, as they say. The fastest 2 minutes in sports.
Right. Are you betting on it?
Oh, I'm sure there will be some bets made.
No, I said, are you betting on it?
I'm not a real big horse guy, but I think for the big horse races, you kind of have to, yeah.
Oh, but I can't name one of the horses.
Well,
who's the favorite?
The favorite is Renegade at 4-1, while the other ones that are close, there's a couple, Commandment and Further Ado are 6-1. But I personally like what they're calling a high-value long shot at 20-1 because of the trainer, Bob Baffert. Back from his suspension, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think I'm saying the name right, Potente, at 20-1. So any Bob Baffert horse has a great – the guy's tied for the most wins at the Kentucky Derby of all time. So,
and that's the most fun when you take a long shot.
Because then you can make some money.
Because then you, yeah, you can make some
four
money.
4-1 and 6-1, what's it going to get you? But 20-1, that'll get you some money.
I probably, and I've gone a couple of times thanks to my old dear friend, Hoot McInerney.
How fun is it? Because I hear it's a blast.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah.
It is. It's special. The hats, the pomp and circumstance, the finery, all of that.
Yeah.
And I was up on something called Millionaire's Row, which I never would have gotten on my own.
Right.
And there was Rick Pitino, who's into horses.
Yeah.
Some royalty from somewhere. I can't even remember who it was. It was a long time ago.
Well, I mean, there's a couple Japanese contenders, a couple of horses that are looking to become the first Japan-based horses to win at the Derby.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And what's this freeze warning? I saw it, just glanced. I don't pay attention too much to the weather because we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But is there truly a freeze warning? And is that good news? Will that freeze out the things that are causing our allergies to act up?
Probably not. It'll just be cold for a little bit, and then it'll get warm again because it's Michigan. And then your sinuses will go crazy.
Well, I got my sinuses are going crazy today. It's just nuts. Coming up, it is the one and only JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani, who I thought he would take the day off so he could fully celebrate Couple Appreciation Day with his lovely Nicole, who, by the way, I knew before he did.
And thank you for letting me know, Paul, that it's Couples Appreciation Day today, because that way I can maybe stop at home on my way home and maybe get a little flower or something.
So,
how about that?
So what CVS or 7-Eleven are you stopping at on the way home?
I'll stop at the Trader Joe's on the way home.
And, honey, I also got this incredible deal on Bayer aspirin. How sweet and how romantic you are. Now, how long have you and Nicole been married?
We've been married for, oh gosh.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I didn't ask for the date.
What year is this?
You know, for as much help as you thought Paul was giving you, you're getting him in so much trouble right now.
It'll be 12 years.
I didn't mean to cause trouble.
It'll be 12 years in September. But we went to high school together, actually.
Oh,
so we've known each other
for. Maybe you did know her before I did then. Well, you married into a wonderful family, that's
great
for
people.
Sure.
Great people.
Great, great people. And I did know them for a long time, or have known them for a long time. I haven't seen them in a while, but enjoy your couple
appreciation. You might have to step up from Trader Joe's after this segment on the way home.
Yeah, right.
We've got our Pistons tonight and Sunday. We will be going on our Paul W. Smith annual Pure Michigan tour. We leave Sunday to get up to Mackinac Island, if I can convince everyone to get on the ferry now that they're scared from that movie, Widow's Bay. But Monday we'll actually be on the air from 11 to 2. So it does affect the daily dose of Dietz, All Talk with Kevin Dietz, but it doesn't affect JR Afternoon with you, Ryan. So it's all good.
Well, you know what? That's fantastic. I'm happy about that. And I'll tell you, Paul, it's going to be a great week next week, but an even better weekend this weekend because we got to enjoy today first, right?
Absolutely correct. And a happy birthday, Mark Snethkamp, once again. And tomorrow, our Mike Parsons, Chelsea, is celebrating her birthday. So I thank everybody from the team, and I thank them all again. Join us Monday from the iconic Grand Hotel. Regards, Paul W. Smith.